Hey friends, welcome back to the Journal Feed. My name is Nick Zelt, and this is the only place for me to spoon feed you emergency medicine. Recent articles appraised and concisely summarized for your benefit. If you are hearing this right now, then you are unfortunately not currently a Journal Feed subscriber, and so you will not be receiving the full Journal Feed podcast, only getting a portion of the past week's articles. Don't worry, they're all good articles, but you're still missing out. If you would like to get full access to both the podcast and the blog, then you'll have to become a member. All the details for that are at journalfeed.org. And remember, we don't ever want money to be a barrier to better patient care, so if you're having any trouble affording a subscription, just get in touch. We'll help you out. This is the audio version of the past week's summaries, which this week were brought to you by our authors, Laura Murphy, Shannon Marcus, Jason Lesnick, and Clay Smith. Okay, we're actually going to go straight over to the fourth article and then come back for the third article. This is the fourth article titled The Duke International Society for Cardiovascular Infectious Diseases Criteria for Infective Endocarditis, updating the modified Duke criteria out of the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases. All right, everyone remembers the good old-fashioned Duke criteria that they memorized in medical school at some point, presumably, yes, right? Probably, yes. You probably don't remember all of them, kind of a waste of brain space if you ask me, but you'll probably know the major strokes. For instance, two major criteria will make the diagnosis, or one major and three minor, or five minor, if you're going by the clinical standards. Then there are pathological criteria, there's criteria for possible endocarditis, and criteria for rejecting endocarditis. All in all, it starts to get a little bit complicated rather quickly. The original Duke criteria, named after Duke University, not some guy named Duke, though the creator was named Daniel Dirac, so it's not terribly far off either. The criteria you're likely thinking of are actually the modified Duke criteria, which were made in 2000. And the originals were made in 1994, and so they were updated quite a while ago now. But making this not the first time that the criteria have been overhauled. You'll want MDCalc to hurry up to include these new criteria in their app before you really think about using them, though, because they're long and they're technical and there's a lot of little details. In fact, they're long enough and technical enough that I don't think it would really be of much benefit for me to read them out to you. The differences aren't sweeping. There are still the same familiar categories you know and love, but some nitty-gritty under-the-hood stuff has changed. Most of it is not terribly relevant to the emergency department, but of course, we still need to know that these new criteria exist. Some examples of changes that have been made include the addition of a previous history of infective endocarditis to the minor criteria, as well as cardiac implantable devices being a risk factor. And the major criteria now include cardiac CT imaging, just to be very brief. So these new criteria are the Duke International Society for Cardiology Infectious Diseases Diagnostic Criteria, which is a real mouthful. I'd have preferred something like the re-modified Duke criteria, but I suppose you have to let people take credit for the hard work that they do. In a spoonful, there are new Duke criteria. You can read them all in full at the Journal Feed website. The link is in the show notes or in the original publication. Okay, now we're going to see why we needed new criteria in the first place, in the third article. And that third article is titled External Validation of the 2023 Duke International Society of Cardiovascular Infectious Diseases Diagnostic Criteria for Infective Endocarditis, out of the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases. Okay, now we validate the new Duke criteria. This was data on 595 consecutive adult patients with suspected or confirmed infective endocarditis who were referred to the infective endocarditis team at the Amsterdam University Medical Health Center over a 5-year period. They used an international expert panel to review the cases retrospectively and assign the final diagnosis of infective endocarditis or not infective endocarditis. They used an international expert panel to review the cases retrospectively and assign the final diagnosis of either infective endocarditis or not infective endocarditis. This was used as a reference standard against which the diagnostic criteria could be compared. They looked at the new Duke criteria we just spoke about, the modified Duke criteria that we all know and love, and the European Society of Cardiology criteria from both 2015 and 2023. For each case, two classifications were made, one with all the possible available data, including surgical and post-mortem examinations, and the other using just the clinical data available before that point. Anytime that two experts disagreed, there was a third expert to play tiebreaker. The kappa was 0.72. This expert adjudication model is not novel and has been used for validating prior Duke criteria in the past, so with all its imperfections, it's at least what's gotten us this far and it's the best thing we've got. They determined 67% of the cases, that's 399 patients, to have had endocarditis. The new Duke criteria were more sensitive at 84% than the modified Duke and the 2015 European Society of Cardiology criteria, which were just 75 and 80% sensitive, respectively. The 2023 European Society of Cardiology criteria were similarly sensitive to the new Duke criteria, again, that's 84%, but new Duke was more specific, 94 instead of 82. Using only the clinical criteria, the new Duke criteria were a little bit less sensitive, 79% instead of 84, but just as specific. If you took all possible endocarditis cases to be positive instead of negative, which is probably more similar to real-life practice, certainly as far as the emergency department is going to go anyways, then the criteria were 99% sensitive, but only 21% specific. The negative predictive value for the criteria of rejecting endocarditis was 98%. That also sounds useful. Sorry about all the numbers I just threw at you. All to say it's working well and it's working better than the other options. And I know this is just one trial, but given the similarities with the previous criteria, I don't think we necessarily have to extensively validate these ones. I will personally try to reference these new criteria instead of the old modified criteria that I was using previously. It would be nice if MDCalc would help me out with that. In a spoonful, this external validation compared the 2023 new Duke criteria from the International Society of Cardiovascular Infectious Diseases against various other criteria for diagnosing infective endocarditis and found that the new 2023 Duke criteria had the best test characteristics. All right, that's all the articles I had from this week. Let's do a quick wrap-up of everything we talked about. From the fourth article, skipping the third, we saw that there are new Duke criteria which exist from the International Society of Cardiovascular Infectious Diseases. And then from the third article, those new Duke criteria seem to be the best option we have for infective endocarditis. Again, if you are hearing this right now, then you are not currently part of the members feed, and so you missed three articles from this past week. One of them was about what the cath lab can do for you and your OCA patients. The second was a big trial on UTI antibiotic durations in children. And the last, well, ASIP weighs in on the best IV medications for severe agitation. The show notes are the place to go to find links to the journal feed for all the summaries I talked about today, where you'll also find further links for all the original articles. Our goal here is for you to read less, learn more, and save lives, one spoonful at a time. Thank you.